The scripture reading this morning, taken from Hebrews chapter 5, is a very familiar passage there in Hebrews, dealing with Jesus going to the cross. I want you to notice in your Bible the statement there, the verse there, that mentions obedience and suffering in the same sentence. Did you catch that? That Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Sometimes obedience will have difficult things associated with it. And so this morning I would like to talk for just a moment about times when obedience is hard. The text says in verse 8 that he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience was associated with something difficult. And so in life and in obedience to God, there's going to be some difficult things. But if we will go through those hard things, those difficult things, great rewards will follow. Think about how in life that great rewards often follow things that are hard. Speak to our mothers who are here this morning concerning childbirth. As that baby is passing down through and coming out into a new life, there's some pain associated there, isn't there? And there's some hard things associated with that. But then that baby comes out and you hear that cry for the first time and the wonderful rewards that follow. Dieting. That can be difficult and hard. We've got to watch our calorie count and we've got to exercise and we've got to eat right. And that's hard sometimes, but we like the better lifestyle, the weight loss and the better heart care and things like that. Budgeting. It might be hard not to buy. You're standing in the store and you want to buy that object or you want to buy that thing online, but you know that it would put you in great debt and it would blow your budget. And so you say, well, I'm not going to buy that right now. And you restrain yourself. And the great reward that comes later when you're not saddled with that debt. And you have the freedom to buy things because that debt and those high interest rates are not looming over your head every day. Parenting. There's some hard things about parenting. But we see the fruits and the rewards when they grow up and become Christians and live good lives. Schooling. The homework and the tests and the studying and the getting up early and getting to class on time and getting the reports in and getting the projects in. And there's all kinds of things about schooling that are hard, but when that diploma is handed to you or when you get those good grades. So there are things in life that where we understand that great rewards will follow doing things that are hard. And you know the same is true with serving God. There are going to be times when obedience is hard, but there will be great rewards that will follow ultimately the reward of heaven. And I believe it's important for us to learn that lesson, and the earlier we learn it, even the better. Turn with me to the book of Lamentations. We don't spend a lot of time there. There's some great lessons there, but look at Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27. Lamentations 3:27. One of the greatest things that we can do as parents, just as a side note, our lesson this morning is not on parenting, but just as a side note, one of the greatest things that we can do as parents is to help our children learn the value of doing things from time to time that are hard. And learn that when you're young. It is good for a man, Lamentations 3:27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Look at three words there. Good,
This is a good thing that we're talking about, not a bad thing. This is good for young people. Number two, that a man bear the yoke. That's a symbol of work, something that's hard. And number three, learn it when you're young, in his youth. I believe we do our young people a disservice by trying to shelter them from things that are hard. They need to experience things that are hard. And when I say hard, I really mean hard. I mean sweaty, picking up something heavy, doing something for long hours, getting dirty, whatever, something that's hard. And Jeremiah said, it's good for a person to bear a yoke, do something hard while you're young. You know why, young people? Because you're learning that that's what the rest of your life is about. Life has hard things associated with it. And it's good to learn that you need to do some hard things when you're young. Because the rest of your life, there's going to be some hard things. And when you learn that early, you'll be ready for life when you get out on your own. I wonder sometimes if we condition ourselves to a life of ease. Just everywhere we go, try to make it as easy as possible. That's not reality. And so when it comes to our religion, then we want that to be easy as well. And when it's not, then we drop out and quit. I want to talk this morning about times when obedience is hard. But we still need to obey. Do you know that doing easy things is not always the right thing? Doing the easy thing or the easy way is not always the right way. Had Jesus done that, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, He wouldn't have gone to the cross. But He went to the cross, and by doing that, He was obedient to His Father, and we're the beneficiaries of that. Because He did something that was hard. You see? We receive the benefits and the blessings of Him being obedient when times are hard. The test of true faith is whether we obey even when it's hard. Like a river that follows the path of least resistance and that is crooked, we'll be crooked. Like that river, if we always follow the path of ease and least resistance. Let's look at some times when obedience is hard and we still need to be obedient. You know, we need to be obedient even when I'm not in the mood. We might get up each day and we might not be in the mood to do something that God wants us to do. We hear that a lot. Well, I'm just not in the mood. Well, that's fine if it's, you know, I'm not in the mood to wash the car, or I'm not in the mood to take out the garbage or something. That, you know. But when we're talking about obedience to God, we don't need that. And yet many people will obey only when they're in the mood. I don't know if this is the case, but turn with me to Judges chapter 5. We're not told the reasons, but in Judges chapter 5, when Deborah and Barak go up to fight Sisera, they invite the Israelites to come along and fight with them, and some of them don't want to show up. I don't know all the whys and wherefores. I'm just using this as an illustration of possibly not being in the mood, but Meroz is cursed, Judges 5:23, because they came not to help of Jehovah, to help of Jehovah against the mighty. They didn't want to show up. Judges 5:23. I'm not in the mood today to fight. I'm not in the mood today to help Barak and Deborah. I'm just not feeling it. You know, you'll hear people say that sometimes. Israel in Amos chapter 6 and verse 7, Amos condemns them. He says that you're at ease in Zion. They didn't want to serve the Lord because they had nice houses to live in and they had money and nice things. And They didn't want to serve the Lord properly. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion and to them that are secure in the mountain of Samaria. Maybe their attitude was that I've got my nice things at home. I'm just not in the mood to go down and serve the Lord properly today. I think about Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16, the lukewarm church. Maybe that was their problem. I'm just not in the mood today to serve the Lord. Now, I'm not going to quit Him. I'm not going to be completely cold, but neither am I going to be completely hot. I'll just try to hang out somewhere in between. You know, there's going to be times when the Lord wants us to do things. Things that involve coming and assembling. Things that involve serving the Lord throughout the week. And we may be a little tired. We may be a little stressed. We may be a little strung out. But we still need to obey. You know what's interesting about that in the mood thing? What's interesting is a lot of times that with the same attitude and disposition, people will push themselves to get up and go to work, even though they may not be in the mood, because they know they have to do that to get their paycheck. But when it comes to the Lord, well, I'm just not in the mood, so I won't go do such and such. Why do we find it easy to push ourselves when we're not in the mood to go to work, but we don't push ourselves to obey the Lord? See, we need to be honest with God. And so there may be situations where I'm not in the mood. And yet, here's the point. God's will, not our mood, determines our obedience. It's not about our mood. It's about God's will. And isn't that what Jesus prayed in the garden? You know, there are going to be times when obedience is hard. And another time that I can think of is when it's not convenient. There are going to be things that the Lord wants me to do, and maybe it doesn't quite fit into my daily schedule. The classic example of convenience, of course, that comes to our mind is Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. When Paul preached the gospel to him and wanted him to respond, he said, "Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call thee." It's not convenient right now for me to obey the gospel. I've got some other things I want to do today and with my life. When God calls upon us to obey, that's on a regular daily basis. We don't need to let our schedule and our routines and our habits get in the way of obedience. Are those things that we do throughout the day, are they more important than obedience? Does God have to make an appointment with us if He needs to get something from us? Chris, need to make an appointment. Can I have you at 2 p.m. today to get some things done? Does God have to make an appointment with us? Do we have the out to lunch sign always up where God has to wait and come back? We need to be on God's timetable, not ours. But we've got the out to lunch sign, or we've got the come back later, or... And He needs us now. Each day that we live is one day closer to salvation, Paul says. We're closer to salvation than when we first believed. We're running out of time. And we need to use the best of our time. We need to obey. Well, it's not convenient to obey today. It's not convenient for me to be baptized in just a moment. It's not convenient to teach the lost. It's not convenient to visit the needy. It's not convenient to assemble with the saints. It's not convenient for me to clean or work in and around the church building. It's not convenient to show hospitality or to pick up the elderly. It's not convenient for me to pray or read my Bible or give someone a ride or teach a Bible class. And so we go through life missing opportunities to obey God and missing those wonderful opportunities to have the rewards of obedience even when it's hard. Let us not condition ourselves to just simply do what God wants only when it's easy, but even in those times when it's challenging. God is looking for our obedience. And sometimes that's going to come up, like in the case of Jesus, where there's difficult things to do. And yet we're still going to do it. That's really the true test of faith. Many people can obey when it's easy. God is looking for you and I to obey in those hard times as well. I can think of times when it would be hard to obey, and another one that comes to my mind is when I don't understand it all. When God tells me something and it doesn't fit my reasoning. I would imagine in Joshua chapter 6, when God said to march around the walls of Jericho, I can imagine that some of the Israelites would have said, that just doesn't make any military sense. I can march around a wall all day long and nothing's going to happen. Why do I need to do that? I can blow trumpets all day long and a wall that is very thick is not going to fall down. So I'm just not going to do that. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 21. I wonder if there were some Israelites in Numbers chapter 21 who, when they had been complaining against the Lord, He sent out serpents among them. And the solution to that, Numbers chapter 21 and verse 8, make thee a fiery serpent and set it up upon a standard, up on a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and set it upon the standard, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he looked unto the serpent of brass, he lived. I could see where there would be Israelites going, wait a minute now. I just got bit by a serpent, and you're asking me to look at a brazen snake up on a pole as if that's going to do anything. You could see where somebody would say, well, I'm not going to do that. That doesn't fit my understanding, my human reasoning, my human wisdom. You could see that. And yet they still needed to do it. And really, isn't that what Naaman had a problem with before he dipped seven times in the Jordan in 2 Kings 5? He said, behold, I thought that I would be healed in some other way. You're asking me to do something that doesn't match up with my understanding. And until he got a grip on that, he wasn't cleansed. But when he realized I just simply need to obey, then he was cleansed. I would just put it this way. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. It may take some time to get our head around a Bible verse or to get our mind and thinking around principles and doctrines in God's Word. That can wait. Obedience cannot. And the older we get and the more that we understand God's Word and the more that we study God's Word, even those things that early on may have appeared to be strange or unimportant, the more we see God's work and God's way in our life, then we begin to say, oh, I see the wisdom of that. So even in our study, we come around. Understanding can wait. Obedience cannot. Somebody might say, well, you know, I don't see what immersing myself in water is going to do anything. I just can't see this or I can't see that. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. There are going to be things that God tells us to do where we just simply need to trust His Word and not try to reason through that and rationalize through that. It's the very Word of God. We simply need to do that very thing. A lot of times when you talk with folks about the Word of God and study with them. A lot of times, you just simply read the verse and there's the but. Well, but, no, should be no but. It's just what the verse says. Just do it. And it's refreshing. Sometimes you'll see where someone will read a verse and they'll say, well, I just need to do that. That's refreshing to see that. So when I don't understand it all, and there may be situations like that, I still need to obey. And I need to obey when my preference is otherwise. There are going to be times when you're reading in your Bible and you're going to read something and you're immediately going to think, that's not the way I would do that. That's not what I think should be done in that situation. And we're going to have a preference about it. But we need to do what God says. You know, God told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit, but Eve had a different preference, didn't she? So she ate of that fruit. We're going to be challenged. And we're going to be thinking, well, I have a different way of thinking about this. I still need to obey. Aaron, in Exodus chapter 32, when he made the golden calf there, and the people wanted a golden calf, that was their preference. And God said, don't have any other gods. Don't make a likeness of me in any way. Well, they had a different preference. And so do we do what God wants us to do? Nadab and Abihu had a different preference in offering up the strange fire of Leviticus 10. Israel had a different preference in Numbers chapter 13 when Joshua and Caleb said, we can go up and take the land. Israel had a different preference. And they said, well, we're like grasshoppers. We're not going to do that. So they listened to the 10 spies, the 8 spies. The 10 spies. I'll get it right in a minute. There were 12. I don't want to go up. Well, I got a different preference. And then later, when God said, don't go up to the unbelievers, then they presumptuously tried that. Man has a different preference a lot. Achan had a different preference. He wanted to take of the devoted thing when he was not supposed to in Joshua 7. Saul had a different preference in 1 Samuel 15 when he said, well, I can spare some of the flock. I don't have to utterly destroy the Amalekites. And Uzzah had a preference when he wanted to touch the ark in 2 Samuel 6. And on and on and on. When God wants us to do something, we must not allow human wisdom, our human wisdom, or our emotion to interfere with genuine obedience. Who was it who prayed, not my will be done? Who was it that prayed that, you see? There are going to be times when my will is in conflict with God's will on a lot of things. And I hope that we can learn through life to mold our thinking to where my will matches God's will. And in time, as we mature and grow, I should get up each day and my will is just naturally conforming to God's will. But if I'm at that point earlier than that, where there's a conflict, that's going to be a challenge, isn't it? And I need to obey even when it doesn't suit my preference. We're thankful to Jesus that He obeyed even when it was hard. And we are the recipients of the great rewards that followed. And I'm here to tell us this morning that if in each of these cases we will obey even though it's hard, the great rewards will follow. You know, I can think of another time, and that is when I'm all alone. You know, it's easier to obey when somebody's around us to help us, to encourage us, to keep us on the right track. Maybe mom and dad. Maybe teachers and the boss and elders and a spouse. Law enforcement. Other types of situations where there's someone there to encourage us to do what is right. But when I'm alone, and there are going to be times in life when I am alone, am I going to obey? I think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 37. We know the story there. Potiphar's wife makes sexual advances towards him, and he says no, this would be great wickedness in the sight of God, and he runs away. He's all by himself. And there's going to be that time when I'm all by myself with the computer or with my phone or something like that, and I'm tempted to look at something that is wrong. I'm all by myself and I'm tempted to say this or to say that to somebody else that's not right. I think of Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 when he was told, "You can't pray." And he did it anyway. He was in the vast minority by himself. "I'm going to pray anyway." And he took the consequences of that, which was being thrown in the lion's den, and God miraculously saved him. There will be great rewards. God will find His way to reward us when we will do things when it's hard. And I think when we're all alone would be one of those. And here's what we need to remember. And this is what Joseph remembered in Genesis 37. He said, "How can I do this sin or this great wickedness and sin against Jehovah?" He knew God was still there. We may be by ourselves, but God is still with us watching. And that's the point, isn't it? And He still wants us to obey. I would say that it's easier to obey when others are around us, coaching us on to do that. And we need that. We need that encouragement of others. But every once in a while, we're going to be by ourselves. And our life and our schedule and our work and schooling and other things put us in situations when we're by ourselves. And we still need to obey then. I think we need to obey when it would embarrass me to serve the Lord and follow God. Turn with me to John chapter 12. There are going to be times where we need to stand for what is right. And there are others around us who don't want to do that, and that's going to be difficult. And we're going to be tempted to cut and run and be embarrassed and be fearful. And so we're going to say, "Well, I'm just really not going to stand up for the Lord in this situation. If I stand up for the Lord in this situation, I might be an outcast, or somebody might say something negative about me, or I won't be allowed in their little group anymore." And that pressure is so great that we find, look at this in John chapter 12, in verse 42, that pressure can be so great on somebody. "Nevertheless, even of the rulers, many believed on Him," that is Jesus, "but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, lest they should be put out of the synagogue." I don't want to lose my little social circle. So I believe in Jesus, but I can't bring myself to step over that next hurdle and confess Him. This is too hard because I would be going against my friends and I can't be in the synagogue anymore. And so they just didn't do it. It would have been hard for them to do that, and they should have done that. Others did. Others believed in Jesus and confessed it. They didn't care what other people thought. But these were concerned about their social circles. So either through embarrassment or fear or cowardice, "Well, I'm just not going to stand with Jesus." Peter was like that. On one occasion, Peter could really stand for the Lord at times. But in Luke 22, he's warming his hands by the fire and he denies Jesus three times. And later in Galatians 2, he associated with some Gentiles, but when some Jews showed up, he acted like he didn't know the Gentiles. He had a little problem with that. There's going to be some times where a situation may be embarrassing or you may be tempted to be fearful about something. Don't do that. But obey. Have you ever thought about who a hypocrite is? Who is a hypocrite? We typically think of a hypocrite as a worldly person who's pretending to be a godly person. And that's true. That would be a hypocrite. But stop and think about it this way. What about a good person like you and I pretending not to be a believer in order to avoid the risk of displeasing others. That's hypocritical too. A good person putting himself as if he doesn't believe in Jesus. And that's what's going on here. Refusal to obey because of fear or embarrassment is really denial. And Jesus said in Mark 8 and verse 38 that if we deny Him before men, He's going to deny us before the Father. So let's obey even in those times when it's hard. When others around us are not, and they're putting the pressure on us, we're still going to stand for what is right. And then last of all, there are going to be times when obedience is hard, and I can think of one. This is certainly not an exhaustive list, but one other that comes to my mind, and then we'll close. And that is when it involves correcting or confronting or condemning our own. It's easy to obey God if we're condemning the denominations, you know. Or it's easy to obey God when we're condemning the false teacher and the person out there teaching error. But what if it's someone like our own spouse or a child, a member of the church, your fellow brother or sister in Christ, some family member? Will we do what God wants us to do then? That would be hard, wouldn't it? In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about if your brother sins, go show him his fault between you and he alone. You've got to go to your brother, your brother in Christ, someone that you've known. That would be difficult, wouldn't it? It's easy to go to a stranger and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing such and such. But Jesus talks about your own brother in Christ. What about Peter and Simon the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8? Here is Simon the sorcerer. He's a brand new convert. He had just been baptized. And not long after that, he wants to buy the gift of God with money. And Peter turns and says to him, you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. A new convert that was his brother in Christ, and yet turned and said to him something that he needed to hear to get him out of that sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in the church at Corinth, they wouldn't condemn their own. There was a brother among them in the church that had his father's wife, and they wouldn't say anything. And I wonder if it had to do with this situation here where, well, that's just too hard. We can condemn the brother that's across town, but not in our own church. We can't do that. So they just let it go. Let it slide. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. God has put in place in the local congregation loving, godly Christians, men and women who will help us in our time of need. And if a man, brethren, if a man be overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, looking to thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We're here to help each other, but we have to do that from time to time, and that's difficult for the preacher to preach on things in a local church, and the elders to stand for what is right in a local church. It may be hard, but we must do that. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 with regard to the church at Thessalonica. They were to withdraw themselves from those who are walking disorderly. But look at chapter 3 and verse 6. Every brother that walketh disorderly. That's our own brother in the local church. That's going to be hard to do. But we must do that. Here's one. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. Here's a difficult one. I've never been in this situation, and I hope that I never am. And I know the good men that are here at Warfield Boulevard are elders, and I don't believe that this is ever going to come up. But look at this situation where Timothy is told to rebuke an elder who sins. Can you imagine having to do that? Verse 20, them that sin reprove in the sight of all. The them there is the elders. That would be hard. In James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, your own brother or sister in Christ who needs to be called back from a life of sin. The seven churches of Asia in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, some of them were letting members slide. The text says that you're tolerating Jezebel. Some of them tolerated error. Because it's among us and we just can't do anything about it. It's hard to do. I mean, I sit beside her all the time and I just can't. I know she's teaching others to commit fornication, but I go to class with her and I sing beside her and I take the Lord's Supper right beside her. You can't really expect me to say anything to her. So the text says they were just tolerating her. It's hard. And so, as we close this morning, there are going to be difficult times. But we need to obey. And sometimes obedience will hurt. Sometimes obedience will hurt. Sometimes obedience will be hard. But we will greatly be rewarded for it in the end. Daniel did something that was hard, Daniel 6, but he was rewarded. Jesus did something hard called the cross, but we are rewarded. Peter and John were thrown in prison and mistreated, Acts chapter 4 and 5, but the church spread. Paul talks about all of the things that he went through in 2 Corinthians 11 for the gospel, being stoned and beaten. That's hard. But we're the recipients of 13 letters and the good life of Paul. Hebrews chapter 11. A number of individuals there went through hard things in their obedience to God. Abraham leaving his country and Noah building an ark and so forth. But they're men and women of faith. And somebody says, well, you know, I'm just not going to obey when times are hard. I'll just wait till it's a little bit easier. Do you know that in delaying obedience until we think it's going to become easier, do you know that what we usually find is that it only becomes harder? It only becomes harder when we delay. Every time we delay, it becomes harder to do it. It's best just to do it now. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, even as you have always obeyed. Let's do that. Always obey. Even when it's hard. And the promise that is given us in Revelation 14:13 is that when we get to heaven, they will rest from their labors. There's going to be some hard labors. But we can rest with God in heaven around His throne singing praises for all eternity. We're going to sing the song of encouragement, Seeking the Lost. I bid you to come this morning. You might say, well, it's going to be hard for this reason, that, just put it out of your mind and just step forward. Or if you need to come back as an erring child of God. But there are going to be times when obedience is hard. God is looking for obedience, not excuses, not a life of ease. In fact, if we will come to Jesus, Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, my burden is light. My burden is light. The word there literally means easy to pick up. The life of Christ, the life of Christianity, might have some challenging things to us, but when you look at it, we can do what God wants us to do. John says His commandments are not burdensome. We can do these things.